Okay, Kim, you're live.
Thank you. Well, hello. Welcome to the December 9th, 2020 meeting of the KPFK Local Board Finance Committee.
Thank you.
I'm going to take roll. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Kim Aaron?
Here.
Alan Beek? Alan?
Here.
Fred Blair?
Present.
Bella DeSoto? Dave Johnson?
I'm here.
Steve Kaiser? Kim Kaufman? That's me. I am the chair and the secretary. And I am here. Janine Rohn? Michael Novick?
Present.
Paulina Vasiliev? John Wanger? I'm assuming Danielle is not joining us today. Barry Brooks?
Present.
Is James Sagerton or Beth Van Gooten on yet? Our guests? Okay, they may.
Kim, I don't see them on the Maestro control panel.
Right. Okay. Yeah. okay. So the agenda is approve minutes from November 11th. There's no next meeting scheduled. Report on current financial status from the business manager. Review October P&Ls. Review Allegiance fund drive data. On Fund Drive, and Alan Beek's budget suggestions presentation adjourned. Can I get a motion to approve?
So moved.
Any changes?
Ken, I have a question.
Okay.
You sent out an email with, I'm trying to get back to it, about something that you were going back and forth with Danielle. Is that having anything to do with finance? Some organization. Where is this?
One of the emails that went out, one of his weekly emails sort of asking for donations.
Story share.
No, it's Cal Matters. Was an
okay,
email.
Cal Matters.
Directing PayPal to Cal Matters, and I saw it and asked about it, and I don't know. He said it was a typo, and I don't know. He said there's no financial relationship between us, so, you know, we occasionally print some of their articles on our website. Anyways, I don't think it needs a separate agenda item. I mean, unless somebody wants it.
Bella to the stack.
Okay, go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Yes, I wrote back to him.
No, Bella. Do you want it on the agenda? I mean, that's
yes.
The question for
yes.
Setting the.
Yes. Yes. We need to discuss this.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or?
Well, where on the agenda do you want it?
Number 9. Where I'm
okay
putting
by
it.
Me. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Any other? Changes? Okay, so any objections to approving the agenda? No objections. Okay, the agenda is approved. Okay, we have minutes from November 11th meeting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from November 11th?
So moved.
Any changes, corrections, comments? Any objections to approving the minutes? Okay. Minutes are approved. So there is no meeting scheduled for January.
Alan Baker, the Stike.
Go ahead, Alan.
January 13th would be the logical day to have it. It meets both criteria.
Okay, but at the next meeting, you're going to elect a new treasurer, so it will be up to the new treasurer to set a meeting, I think.
I think the meeting date is set at the convenience of the Finance Committee.
Okay. Whatever. I don't.
John, to the queue, please.
Go ahead.
I agree with Fred. I think that we should just maintain the continuity of the Finance Committee as best we can. I don't think anybody thinks we have the luxury of time to wait for these other kinds of concerns. If there's no objection, let's just keep on going.
So let me look on a calendar.
Yeah, 13th is the second Wednesday, and it's prior to the third Sunday, so it makes sense.
Okay, I'll set one up for January. What did you say, 13th?
That's correct.
That's what he said.
January 7th. Okay.
That was January 13th.
Right. I mean, you know. Okay. So, okay, next on the agenda is a report on the current financial status from the business manager. We all did get a written report a couple hours ago, which was very nice. Do you want, should I read it out loud for the stream?
Yes, that would be good.
I see that it's one page. It's two large paragraphs on one page.
Well, I broke it up for myself, so.
It's a two-page document.
Okay, I mean, I'll read it, and I'll start reading it. KPFK's current Bank of America operating administration account balance is $59,747 as of December 9th. Are you going to be able to pay payroll, Barry?
It looks like it. We are expecting another $20,000 in a foundation contribution, a grant, that's supposed to be paid to us any day now. It was supposed to be, I think, 7 to 10 days after the Thanksgiving holiday. So we're expecting an additional $20,000, yeah. So I hope to make payroll, yeah.
Bella, to the stack.
Go ahead.
So is that in addition to what you wrote in your summary, that we're expecting a deposit approximately of $23,500 by December 23rd? Is that in addition to that?
Yes, that's in addition to that. And then also, as of today, we have raised $100,000 as of today, at this point in time, from the holiday drive, from the December holiday drive.
Okay.
Okay, but you only have 59 in the bank right now.
That's correct. But yeah, that's going to change every day since Friday. It's been going up, so hopefully it'll continue that trend.
One point of order, Barry. That's not raised $100,000. That's pledged $100,000. So there's a fulfillment issue at some point.
That's correct. Yeah, we have raised $99,000, which is $100,000. Yeah.
No, you've pledged. You have $100,000 of pledges.
Pledges, right, correct.
We have not received yet.
No, we have not received $100,000, no.
So what is the pledge fulfillment there?
I believe the total fulfillment as of today was 76.2%. I think I sent that to Kim and Fred. So.
No, you didn't. I didn't see anything.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I sent it to you in addition to the summary page.
Well, you. It's on the sec. It's the summary. The PDF summary. It's got multiple pages.
Correct. That's on. It's on there.
Okay. Well. Okay. Okay. So I'm going on. I'm going on. Otherwise, we're going to spend all day on this. We expect an additional deposit of approximately $23,500 on December 23rd from the August 20 and October 20 fund drive residuals and online donations. I don't understand why, how all these things come in on one day. Who's holding them? How do they get hold? On hold, and they just dump one lump sum.
Well, it has to do with the, you know, the collection time, and it has to do with, you know, on this specific day. Usually when we had Payment Solutions, which is now going away, they would actually give us a bump, usually on the 20 or the 23rd of the month. And it would, you know, it'd be between $20,000 and $24,000 of deposits.
So they just hold them as they come in for the month, and then we get a dump?
Well, there's a timing difference. There's a timing difference that goes on with that.
Does anybody understand what this means? Because I don't.
Yes, this means accounts receivable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't understand what this is, Barry, but I don't want to. I'm going to move on. The total amount raised for the holiday December 2020 fund drive to date is $89,407, goal $400,000. The average daily amount collected is $10,974. I looked up this morning, and as of 12/8 last night, it was $93,555. And divided by 8 days as of yesterday, that's $11,694 per day. On what basis was the goal $400,000, Barry? How long is this fund drive planned for?
I think I talked to Annielle today. He's talking about maybe going to the 20th of this month, depending upon what position we're at. And then also he was saying that even after the fund drive ends, there will be continued messaging as for a soft drive.
Uh-huh.
To the end of the month.
Okay. So you have 30 days in October, and now you have 20 days in December. You're already at 50 days.
Well, I think we ended the drive on the 27th, I believe.
I think it was the 30th.
We didn't go to the end of the month. I know that in October. No, we didn't go to the end of the month.
I was hoping
they would go to the end of the month, but they did.
Well, I'll check my records when maybe later when it's 27, 28, you know, 27 or 30. That's 3 days difference. You're almost at 50 days. Okay, so we don't have a fund drive chart from you, and we've asked for it since last June.
I gave you the fund drive chart on the last time in November's finance committee meeting, okay?
Yeah,
it's not good, Barry.
It's not accurate. It doesn't comport with the reality on the ground. I get it. You're not going to do it. I get it.
I gave it to you.
Uh-huh. Okay. It didn't make sense, Barry. We don't have a fund drive chart. If we did, you're not following it. And you're not following.
I have 128 days, okay, on the fund drive chart for the total amount for the 2021, okay? And
uh-huh.
The total amount raised for 2021 is $1.9 million.
And how many days were in October in your fund drive chart?
October had 26 days.
Okay. At what what amount per day?
$15,000.
Okay. And how many days in December?
17 days in December. Average collection, $14,000.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a fund drive in February. Average collection will be $15,000, 26 days in February.
Uh-huh.
And then we'll have one in April for 27 days. That average collection will be $13,000.
Okay. Go ahead. Go on.
And then we'll have one in May, which will be a short fund drive for 2 weeks, 13 days. Average collection, $15,385. And then the last fund drive of the year will be in July. It will go from July 28th through August 16th for 19 days at
$15,789. Could I say something, Kim, about the daily averages? Those daily averages from your fund drive chart are the daily averages needed to reach goal, not the daily averages that the fund drive actually, what real daily averages that the fund drive will actually raise. Like this December fund drive we're in right now, the daily average is currently 11,200 a day. That's the real daily average. That's not the daily average needed to reach goal. So that's a problem in that's a basic problem in your fund drive chart. So it's over projecting income. That's it.
I tried to reflect what Kim wanted in the six fund drive. Well, actually, the finance committee wanted in the six fund drives for $15,000 average daily gold.
Not what we want.
That's what you guys wanted, so that's why I put in the actual budget.
Has to be realistic.
I mean, the number, you know, as you go through each fund drive, you can readjust the number. If you'd like to bring it down, you can do that. But we're in the middle of the fund drive. The fund drive is not completed yet, so we don't know how that's going to perform at the end of the fund drive. So, yes, the fund drive is at 11,000 average today, but it could change. I don't know. Who knows?
Wow. Kim?
I have, okay, well, according
to... Sorry to interrupt, Madam Chair.
Oh,
this is Paulina
reporting
that I'm here. I'm here on the call.
Paulina.
I've been on the call for about 10 minutes. Thanks.
Okay. So, according to your schedule, you have scheduled 128 days, and I will check October. I thought it was 29 or 30 days, and this is, so we're already over 130 days. But what are the goals? What do you have as your goals for October, December, for these fund drives? So your goal for October
Goal for October was, I believe, 400,000, and we raised 427,000.
No. Okay, yeah. And December was?
Why are you interrupting me when I'm trying to talk?
Because I'm asking what the goal is.
I just told you what the goal was. We
right,
went to 400,000 for October.
Right.
We actually ended up pledging 427,824. Okay.
Right, and you added, three or four days.
No, we didn't add any 3 or 4 days. The fund drive, I think, like I told you before, I think it ended on the 27th of October.
Okay. Well, I think it ended later, and I'll be checking when I have a minute later in the meeting. Anyways, December. For the December is also $400,000 at 17 days. And February goal?
February goal will be probably in the neighborhood of
$500,000. Oh, interesting. April?
Let's see. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Let me get off on my chart here. Let's see. April will be 375. That's the goal. The goal for May will be 200,000. and the last fund drive in July, August will be 300,000.
Can we go back to reading the list, please, the summary? Because we're not going to finish this then.
Okay.
And whenever you take a stock, Kim, I would love to be on a stock with a question.
Okay, but I want to go back to finishing the report, Paulina. But go ahead. Paulina?
Oh, yeah, no problem. Were you just telling me that to wait, or can I go with a quick question?
I don't know. I mean, how'd you
read
this into what we're talking
question?
About?
I do. I actually, yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Was. I
go
was
ahead.
Talking, thank you very much. Barry, when was the last time that KPFK planned for an extra number of fund drive days and actually finished the fund drive in those number of days planned?
October's fund drive was probably the last time we actually planned a number of like 28 days, and we actually ended it on that particular day. That's the last time I've seen it.
Uh-huh. And how often has that actually been achieved?
I'm not just saying you guys,
but just in general. Yes.
Yeah, that particular situation has been rare. We usually go over the number of fund drive days planned because of the need of cash in order to pay our bills.
Certainly. Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Okay. All right. So, okay, back to here. The total amount raised for October 2020 fall fund drive to date is 427,824 with 2,914 pledges and 37,362 sustainers, 161 pledges. Goal was 400,000. The average daily collection was 14,007. Okay, so you said the average daily collection was 14,000, and that was the pledge amount, I believe. The August 2020 fund drive raised approximately 279,354 pledge amount, and we came up short of the initial expectation of $350,000. Way to go, and congratulations to KPFK staff and volunteers. Do you have the number for how many days of August? If you do, I'd appreciate it, and you don't have to look for it right now. KPFK's outstanding accounts payable as of November 30th, 2020, is $11,477. This doesn't sound very likely, and in fact, you know, in a couple of paragraphs, that's not accurate. You say,
well, that's basically the vendors that we owe outside of KPFK. What we owe internally is different, so that's why I put down there we owe $25,000 to KPFA that we borrowed, and then we also owe $17,000 to the Pacifica Foundation affiliate.
Right.
Bella,
here we go. Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I sent you a question because when you wrote this, you put it. It seemed like the total was 25,000, 17 from one side, and the total of 25,000. So then you actually borrowed 25 from KPFA and the other amount from the 17,000 from the affiliate. Is that correct? So
that is correct.
Okay.
That's total.
So
yes.
42,000.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me ask you this, because every time we meet and in between, I request to see a logical, comprehensive accounts payable aging report. and I'm beginning to wonder if you even know what that is. So
don't don't insult my intelligence, okay? I gave you an accounts payable aging I gave it to Fred Blair. He knows
Fred
I gave
Blair
it to him.
Is not the chair of this committee. Okay?
Not now, no, but I gave it to him.
Payable. Can you let me speak, please? I never see an accounts payable that I can read, number one, and I know it's inconclusive because it doesn't make sense. The numbers do not make sense. But you just put numbers on paper, but never give us an actual aging report from Great Plains.
The aging report I gave to Kim Kaufman is on there. If you look at the report that I sent to Kim today, that is an aging report.
I don't
okay,
see
for the vendors
report.
That we owe money outside of the KPFK family or the
it's
the
all accounts payable. That's what I'm trying to draw your attention to. All the obligations of payments by KPFK are one report, must be in one report, not all over the place. So where is that report? That's called accounts payable aging report. So that we have an idea what the financial monthly obligations are.
I gave that
which
to Fred. That didn't
report?
Change.
What?
I'm giving it to Fred.
Can I correct the statement? You gave it to both Kim and Fred and the executive director. And Kim sends. So Kim sent those documents out to everybody today.
Thank you.
When? I did not see an accounts payable ledger anywhere.
It's sideways in the PDF, Bella.
Sideways.
It's in the summary. It's in the summary PDF. It's the fourth page.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Okay. KPFK is in arrears paying central services by $250,000. 803-4-2020. This is an accounts payable, Barry.
Can I add a correction? Since I'm the treasurer and I sit on the National Finance Committee, we get a report from NIDA that has all the station payables. KPFK owes $331,461. In National Office Central Services.
How much, Fred? 331?
331-461.
Right.
In other words, KPFK has not paid any central services this year, and it owes 6 months of central services from FY20 and a month from FY19.
Okay, I just want to correct you there, Fred. We have made some payments in 2020. It's not all the 12 months of 2020 that we've missed.
What I have is you made 6 month monthly payments and you didn't pay additional six months. I can give you the individual.
Right.
We've
made about 6 months of payments in 2020.
Okay, whatever. You know, 331, not what you said. You know, this is the kind of stuff that sort of drives us crazy, Barry, when there are a bunch of different numbers floating around.
No, let me just correct you there. The number that Fred gave is a multiple amount of years. The one
right.
I gave you is only for 2020.
I know. That's called sort of, you know, like just selecting, you know, some material to give us of accounts payable. You know, okay, so that's what you owed in 2020. Why aren't we getting what you owe in 2021 and 19? I mean, that is the full story, not just a partial amount. Anyways, moving on.
Tim, this is Paulina with a question.
Go ahead, Paulina.
On the same question, I was on the National Finance Committee meeting yesterday, and I believe I heard Anita Sims clearly state that NETA is missing information about exactly what Bella is asking about. from stations. We didn't ask her to specify which stations, but I'm wondering, Barry, if you can answer that question. Have you forwarded the accounts payable aging report to NETA, specifically to Anita Sims, who is working on that?
No, I have not forwarded that schedule. I will be forwarding that schedule between now and Monday.
If I may, the follow-up is, what is so difficult to send us this report that you seem to send sideways so that we cannot read or export? I cannot export this it attached to another report. So what is so difficult if you could send us a separate document of the accounts payable aging report? What is so difficult about that?
Okay.
Instead of sandwiching it so that
okay.
we can even read it.
Stop.
Let me finish. You have been doing this now regularly, and I have asked you to please send a separate report.
Bella, please
Whatever.
Be civil.
I know you can turn it around from sideways, Bella, if you know how to,
I know how to do that, but
okay.
We should be fine to do this. We need to get the report.
Okay. Well, I have the report. I'm satisfied as far as it goes, which is, at any rate, moving on here.
This is not one glove fits all.
Okay, Bella, I'm moving on.
Bella,
I'm moving on. KPFK continues to struggle in its quest to raise funds. Yes. Okay. KPFK's office has been regulated to support staff and volunteers on a part-time basis. But they're still full-time employees, Barry? Is that the way it goes? But they're working... halftime?
They have not been regulated to halftime. They're only being brought in when needed to run the fund drive and various other tasks. That's as far as I understand. You could talk to Aniel about that as far as what he has designed as far as their hours, but they have not been cut in their hours by 50% or any amount that amount.
I'm not sure what this sentence means from you. KPFK's office has been regulated to support staff and volunteers on a part-time basis.
Correct.
So
there are people who are part-time. They're coming in, too.
It doesn't make sense what you wrote.
Right. Okay. KPFK, in order to meet some of their operational costs, has borrowed from the Pacifica Foundation affiliate the amount of $17,000 and KPFK a total of $25,000. These amounts are to be paid back in full by December 31. I don't see how you're going to be able to pay them back, but I don't know. Are you going to pay them back, Barry?
With the money that we raised through the fund drive.
Yeah, but it's not doing that well. I mean, pay payroll this month.
I see the glass half full, okay? That's how I look at things.
This is Bolina with a question.
Go ahead.
Barry, I have seen on the national P&Ls from several stations that what's been happening is that personal costs have been cut. And then all of a sudden, consultants and other fees go up because we get rid of regular personnel and then hire them for services, and they have them invoice us. Is that the case with KPFK?
Yeah, that is.
We have not cut back anybody that's permanent at KPFK. They still come in, but we do have an additional amount of work for people to do on air hosting and producing to handle the fund drives.
So are you saying that we're paying on air hosts as consultants, have them 1099 us?
As far as I know, I don't know how many hosts we have. I think we do have one guy that's doing hosting for our fund drive.
And charging us as a consultant.
Correct.
That's Tony Bates.
Right. Well, shouldn't be mentioning names there. In any case. Okay.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that. Yeah, that's right.
We're going to get to that when we get to the P&Ls. Okay, let me move on from the October 2020 fund drive. KPFK raised funds for the victims affected in the Armenia Fund Partnership, the Uganda Villagers Assistance, and the Agri Workers Wildlife Relief. The total amount raised was $26,743. Has this been paid out, Barry, and where is the documentation of that?
We raised
it's not
a total
on the P&L.
We raised a total of $26,000. We have not paid it yet. We owe $10,000 of that $26,000, of our portion.
How is that possible when you're telling our listeners on air that you're raising, they're getting 50%?
I don't know the breakout. All I know is what they gave me. Terry Guy gave me what the breakout was for the total amount raised and the total amount owed, okay? That's what he gave me.
This is a problem, Barry.
Can I ask a question to Barry on this?
Okay.
Is all this money that we owe for just for one program, or is it?
No,
it's a multiple program. It's not just one program.
Is it the same programmer in both cases?
I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's the same programmer.
Well, whatever. I'll deal with that. Due to KPFK's cash flow problems, three employees have been laid off to meet the staff reductions mandated by the PNB, effective October 15, 2020, effective August 31, 2020. KPFK's management staff has received a 10% salary reduction. KPFK has now signed a one-year contract with IPFS Corporation Insurance Company for earthquake insurance. Effective October 9th, 2020, the monthly premium will be $587. However, $2,776 was paid in October. So does that include the $587? And which will be $587 times 12 equals $7,044. So then there's an extra $2,189, which equals $9,233 for the payment for the year. Am I missing something, Barry?
No, that $2,000 is a setup fee. They charged us that. That insurance company charged some type of setup fee and a broker's fee. So we have to pay that in addition to the monthly premium of $587. So you're right, yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Can I see the contract for that, please?
I don't have that with me right now, but I will forward that to you.
Thank you.
This is Dave.
And relative
Fred.
To that relative to that, Barry, you're already over budget on that item. So, Dave.
Bella, Zach Holcomb.
Yes. How much insurance are we getting for that monthly amount? How much coverage? What's the dollar?
Well,
of
we can look at the contract when we get it. I mean,
well, I mean, if it's
okay.
Very off.
I believe the building is insured for like I think $5 million.
Okay. Fred?
Yeah. I forgot the question I had. I'm sorry.
Hey, Bella?
Yes, thank you. Usually the monthly payable on that, based on the prior contract we had, Dave, is about $800. Okay, I wanted to ask, Kim, you asked Barry this before, but I'm going to stress upon this. Why is it that we should be getting that information from the GM, not from Barry, as to how many people have or have not been let go? On one side...
Okay, Salabella, we're not on that subject now, and
yes,
you know...
Yes, we are. You just covered it. You just read it. You just read it, okay?
Okay.
And you stop when you want to, and you query, but you're not allowing me to do the same. So, how many people, yes or no, have been laid off? First you say three, then you just made a statement that no one has been laid off as of yet. So why are you writing that three people have been let go? And why is it, Paulina asked a very important question, which I have asked before, why are we hiring and increasing outside contractors' hours when we need to cut down on the staff, okay, 1099 or paid staff? So can you please address that, Barry? Do you or do you not know, and should you not have been written this on this summary?
If you were listening, Bella, I told you that we have not cut back any staff time, their hours back. Didn't say anything about layoffs. As far as layoffs, we have laid off three people since October 15th. Okay, permanent position.
So only cut hours.
Yeah, we have not cut back anybody's hours yet.
You just said that they have. That they have been, that three have been laid off.
There's been
talks
of cutting back hours,
cut.
But there has no hours been cut back. We have cut back all the independent contractors that we used to hire. But I guess you have to talk this with Danielle. He keeps hiring Mr. Bates, okay? So
yes,
you have
I know.
To take that up with, take that up with him.
I agree.
We're moving
so
on.
No hours have been cut as of yet. Only three people have been let go, and we have a mandate to cut at least 30% of this workforce. So we're nowhere. And this is why the recent P&L is not reflecting these cuts. No matter how much he says he's working on them. No, he's not.
Okay.
Same.
All right. I'm moving on.
The mandate's got 30% of expenses.
What?
Bella said the mandate was to cut 30% of the workforce. That's not correct. The mandate was correct. 30%
I didn't say
of the
that. Right. I said 30% across the board.
No,
you said
30%
of the workforce, Bella.
Right. I agree with Michael. Anyways, moving on. KPFK's payables and premiums are being paid in a manner that matches what cash flow is available in that particular month. So, Barry, these are accounts payable, and, you know, that's a number that we would like to see, and I'm sure Anita would like to see. So I don't know if they're on your sheet, but not if you told us you owe $11,000, because you have a lot more than that in premiums that are owed. So, you know, just needs to be addressed. The winter and spring fundraising of next year and the fund drives associated with medium to large donations should prove to be good months for listener support revenue, podcast programs, cell phone app donations, and website online support revenue. Yeah. We have streamlined some of our vendor lists to go with the vendors that provide services at a reduced rate. Telepacific Communications has adjusted our billing rate to be in line with nonprofit rates, and the elimination of overlap phone lines. You're already over budget on this line item, Barry. We can deal with that when we get to the P&Ls. KPFK is awaiting approval from the Pacifica Foundation Local Station Board. For what?
For the 2021 budget.
Where is that budget?
I presented the budget to you 2 months ago.
It's just
and let me also say that in the budget that I presented, I did cut back personnel costs by 30%. That is also
really?
Been reflected in that budget.
No, no.
So I did lay off an additional amount of people.
You did not lay off. You'd have no authority to lay off anyone.
Well, no, I just wanted to do a 30% cut in salaries. That's what I did. That's what you wanted.
These are, I don't know what you're talking about, but.
You do know what I'm talking about. 2 months ago, you were making a big stick about how the salaries was overinflated, that you needed a mandate from the PNB that 30% of the salaries should be cut back. That's what you told me.
I didn't say anything like that. So, you know, but I these are all squishy. We're just talking about it. I don't see any numbers. Anyways, I don't know what you're waiting for the, you know, the LSB for. The LSB.
Kim, can I jump in here?
No. Let me finish, Fred. The LSB, the Finance Committee last month, voted to recommend to the LSB that we recommend not approving this budget. The LSB did not approve the budget. It now goes to the National Finance Committee. They're going to review it. They're going to make a budget that they believe is on a sound financial footing, and Anita is going to review it first before the NFC. So I didn't send it to her or to anyone after the LSB meeting. I suppose I should have, but I will, after this meeting, send the last budget we have from you to, or the budget that we did not approve, to Anita and the NFC, and they'll take it up from here.
Can I jump in? Can I respond? Can I respond now?
Go ahead, Fred.
I essentially agree with Kim. Her summary of what happened with the budget is essentially correct. The LSB at its last meeting in November did reject the budget. It voted to reject the budget, and those are the facts. And the budget will be adjusted by Anita and the NFC at some point in the future.
Bella, to the staff.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I recall that with the motion that you made, that you presented at the LSB, Kim, did you not also attach the so-called budget from KPFK that had been submitted?
Of course I did.
Okay. Then that document was already submitted to NFC and also to Anita. So
no,
you don't
it wasn't,
have to.
Bella.
That.
I sent it to the LSB for the last meeting. Don't worry.
Correct.
I'm taking care of it.
Submitted.
I'm taking care of it, Bella. Let's move on. In the 2021 budget, KPFK has allocated $42,000 in interest payments for the repayment of the FJC loan. I believe the national office is going to be taking care of that, but they'll figure it out. The central services expense has been reduced by 30%, not officially. The LogMeIn software system creates a number of protected layers that improves our servers against cyber attacks and allows for a monitoring system. As of this date, KPFK is in dire straits and needs capital infusion immediately. The holiday December 2020 fund drive and a second stimulus funding is critical in buying some time for KPFK to catch up with vendor expenses and providing payroll funding for its employees, including its health benefits, license renewal, insurance premiums, fund drive premiums, national office central services, and other accounts payable obligations. All hands on deck are needed to turn around this dismal financial performance. That's it. Can we move on?
Fred here, does Barry have anything in addition to add to this?
No, I don't have anything in additional. I just wanted to say that each time that I come to the Finance Committee meeting, and if you guys have any type of qualms about the budget or expenses, I always try to meet those demands, okay? And that's why I try to do my best in the budget in trying to, you know, meet the criteria of $15,000 a day for 6 fund drives for the year of 2021. And then, you know, I think I made you guys wanted a request to cut back the salaries by 30%. So I tried to do that too. So I tried to meet your demand as much as I could. But in reality, in order to run KPFK, you got a cash flow problem. So all hands on deck and all the powers that be should be trying to concentrate on how to raise more money for KPFK so we can stay, you know, on air going forward. And I don't understand why that's not being done. I've never seen an organization just nitpick about expenses and this and that, but not want to come up with creative ideas regarding programming, revenue making, revenue streams, and all that. So
that's a different committee. Barry, that's a different committee.
That's also the general manager's responsibility. There was a almost an $800,000 deficit last year, and the previous year you had like $550,000 of extra, like, money in the form of bequests, and nobody was paying attention, and that money just got spent, you know, with bloated expenses. You still had a deficit that year. You know, this is not, you know, management's fault.
Explain to me, what are bloated expenses in your opinion?
When they don't match the revenue. Okay?
Expenses are supposed to match revenue?
They're supposed to be less than revenue.
Maybe you want KPFK to become a satellite office. I don't know. I don't see how you can make it.
Well, we have a different idea of how to monitor expenses, Barry.
Bella, to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you.
And John also. Barry. And John also.
Okay.
And Michael.
Barry, it's amusing that at this stage, at this late stage, you come up with such comments, which are the same comments of people trying to break up Pacifica Foundation. How is it that the board is not raising the funds? We did not hire general manager so that we are raising the funds. It is the management of the station that has to put in the creativity forward. Also, I want to remind you that this board has suggested many times for creative ways of changing the programming grid. The general manager never listens, okay? You don't know many things that go on. You only hear what you are told from management, which is all wrong. And so Kim just pointed out that last year there was plenty of money. Where did it go? Someone must have pocketed that money, I think, then, because we never saw the funds.
Nobody pocketed the money. The money was used to fund our operation.
Let me finish.
The money was used to fund our operation.
And how can you ask that a nonprofit should show more expenditures than revenue? How can you ask why? Because that's the way it has to be. Is the opposite.
No, I never said that the expenses should be more than revenue. I said that revenue, there should be more ideas to create revenue streams to be able to handle the operational costs of the foundation of our station.
Stop arguing about this. This is a
dead horse. I'm finishing. We are paying a general manager and a program director and other people under them to do just that, and they're not doing their job.
John Wanger's next.
Yeah, Barry, you don't hear a lot of complaints from me about these sorts of things, but I am frustrated because we on the Finance Committee, we are the eyes and the ears with regard to the financial details. And what is happening is, you know, you're sending reports to NITA, I guess, for the, what was it, the something or other aging that Bella was asking for. Well, gosh, you know, we on the committee would like to see it here too. And when you do send your communications, you send them through the standard channels, all which take extra time. So you send things to Fred, who in the past was sharing them with Kim, and eventually they come to the committee. Day after day after day goes by. It's all delayed. And with email, you have our addresses on the Finance Committee. Just, unless they're super classified, just send them to us immediately. And you save all these steps. It's like you're following the procedures that are historical and no longer are working because we are no longer quick and agile with regard to tracking things. Now, a particular thing. I would love to get an email every day to show the income from the fund drive by show, by name, you know, and the total number of dollars raised.
Wenger, we have those links. I sent them out. You can click on them every day. I'll show you how to do it. But you've got
okay. In that case, I'm mistaken. In that case, I'm mistaken here. But Barry, the general frustration has to do with the lack of information in a timely manner. And that's a historical thing. It's going on for a long time. If you work to give us the information in a timely manner, I think we'll be happier. I'm done.
Okay, moving on to the profit and loss statement. Any comments on this for anyone who's reviewed it?
Yes, Camilla.
Did I hear Paulina?
Yeah, I thought you hadn't exhausted the stack, but maybe that was
and,
your choice.
Oh, okay. And I'm sorry. Go ahead. If somebody else I didn't hear, go ahead.
I think there was Michael and then me.
Okay.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
And add Fred also.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. Not just us to be. To
so
be
we've got to move on. We've got to move on, people.
Yeah, I'll
go
pass.
Ahead,
that's
Michael.
Okay. I'll
Pardon
pass.
Me?
That's okay.
All right. Paulina, go ahead.
You know what? Let's move on. That's fine.
Fred?
Bella's on the stack.
Okay. Well, the only thing I have to add, looking at the P&L, is you'll notice that for October, the salary payments are 4% higher than in FY20, the last year. That's because I think there's some discussion of this on the list on our email lists. The reasons being is that the severance payments have been evidently folded into salaries, so we don't explicitly see the cost of terminations of personnel at the station. We just see an increase in the level of salary.
That's a problem, isn't it?
That is a problem. That's why the total salaries for October are 23% higher than in FY20. And likewise, again, income in October is 5% is down by 21% on listener support income. I think that's mostly because the breaking out of website income therefore reduces the listener support income if you're just comparing it with the previous year. Because we historically website income has been hidden in listener support income for at least 20 years. We had no way of breaking that out before. Now we're the only station doing that according to people at the NFC.
KPFH.
It seems to be.
No, they don't, Paulina. No, they don't.
Okay, let me finish. So it really would be appropriate, I think, to have a separate report on website income in the future, because we're getting reports through Allegiance on the fund drive income that's through phone calls. So for the Finance Committee, it would be appropriate to get a breakdown of the website income from the different. We have at least three different streams for website income. PayPal, I forget, there's a couple of other companies that process website payments. I think that's all. I'll defer to Paulina at this point.
And Michael's in the stack.
Bill is on the stack.
Just spoke, Bill. I'm going to let Michael speak. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I mean, or was Paulina next?
Well, I was not. No, I actually interrupted Fred, and I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Whenever you let me speak, Kim, let me know.
Yeah.
To speak to the same issue.
Okay, go ahead, Michael.
No, I thought Bella was on before me.
No, she's spoken. I have to take people who haven't spoken.
Fine.
Michael.
Okay. So I understand what Fred just said, and you said in the email about the great increase in the personnel costs was mainly due to severance. Although I thought the severance happened in November, not October. But looking at the breakdown on the expense details, there's no breakout of that, of any severance. So it's all just on the salaries, and salaries are higher. Anyway, in that breakout, the thing that leaped out at me is that the health benefits are practically double a normal figure. They're normally in the $31,000 range, and they're $62,290. And I don't understand why that should be, even if there was some increase in payroll due to severance. You would think that if people were severed, that the cost of the health care would go down, not double. So I wanted to do some explanation of that. And whether that's a one-time...
Can I interject that, Michael?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, the reason why it's double because that we paid health care benefits for two different months in 1 month. Because, you know, as you know, we're having cash flow problems, so we have to kind of defer that payment for the next month, and then sometimes we pay it twice in a given month.
So you're paying, September's payment included?
If you saw it double, if you see it like $60,000, yeah, it's probably because that we didn't pay it for the previous month, and we ended up paying for a catch-up for two payments in the next month.
Okay, but then something is wrong, and it's the P&L, and it shows the entire previous year from October to September. It just shows. So you're saying that was just accrued; it wasn't actually spent, or I don't understand. Anyway, something is off there. Either it shouldn't be carried in the month it wasn't paid, or anyway, in general.
If you haven't paid it, you have to accrue the expense. If you don't pay an expense in a given month, you still have to accrue it to reflect the expense. And then next month, you know, you make two payments to catch up.
It makes it very difficult to understand the spreadsheet in that case because it's already been indicated it hasn't been paid. So,
Bella to the stack.
I'm not quite finished. So regardless of that, the revenue was down compared to October of the previous year. And, you know, the expenses, apart from the payroll, are looking at the total operating expenses. We're up. I can't see exactly by what amount because we didn't pay something, then maybe that accounts for it. But it's just very difficult to get a clear picture from the data we're given. I'm done. Bye.
Hey, Bella.
Thank you. So the total revenue between fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20, we lost $928,294.12. That's incredible. Regarding the question that Michael keeps asking for regarding the medical health benefits, there's a reason why I have been sending that analysis that I have been making of personnel costs against gross revenues to highlight in red the huge numbers of the health benefits, $375,000 and up. And so when you add up the total cost of health benefits in fiscal year 19 and fiscal year 20, you come up with $727,000. That's a whooping number. And I'm also very concerned regarding what, you know, what is all this telemarketing for? Who are we telemarketing to? You know, what is the premiums and other vendors? So I sent all of you a very detailed and summarized P&L in only showing the difference between 19 and 20 with questions next to each side that we need backup, that we need backup. How many months were not paid here? You know, who are these vendors that direct mail printing? Who are these companies that we have had a reduction on? I want to know who those vendors are. The credit card account fees, a reduction of $89.85. Well, who are these vendors? Who are the vendors that we need to eliminate? Who are the vendors that we need to keep while we are reducing our budget? And what is this about community events? We lost 123,618. Okay, but why did we lose that? Well, I know we're in COVID, but why did we even carry? Never mind that. And then the other question is, I just recently tried to reformat the accounts payable that you sent out, and what I'm going to do is send it to James Suggerton so he can see the piece of BS that you are sending us. And if this is what you're sending Nita, it is no wonder they cannot work with it. Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's get into the expenses here. So as I commented before, the telephone is already over budget from what was in the budget. A lot was spent on FedEx in the month of October. Why would it be that much, Barry, of FedEx expenses? Barry?
Yeah, I'm here. I think for the month of October, we paid $700 to FedEx. What happens is those invoices collect, and when they get to a certain amount, then we usually pay it like every 3 months or so.
But you paid $1,490. You paid $1,500 in September. So then October, you have another.
Account. If you paid it by October, you got, I think, $800 off of the total bill. The total bill, I think, was like $4,000. So they offered some kind of discount if you paid it early. So that's why we paid it to the NFCB.
Okay.
Alan Bake on the stack.
Go ahead, Alan.
Barry, you have $744 for postage, USPS, FedEx, US, and PS, and so on, in October. And I anticipated spending only $83. Obviously, I've got to increase my budget estimates. How much do you think it actually should be on the average per month?
For FedEx?
Yeah. Well, that whole line, the postage and the USPS and the FedEx and the UPS. Well, I was showing $1,000 a year.
FedEx, the monthly charge should be about $233 a month.
$233, you think?
Well, yeah, in 2020, in 2020, it was $6,346, and in 2019, it was $5,596. So $6,019 and $6,320. So it went up last year.
Yeah, the point is we've got to cut it back by about 60% if we're going to hold a balanced budget. That means we got really...
It went up $750.
Okay, well, that's what it is. Okay, moving on. We have consultants. So you had 2,288 in October. You have
what line are you on?
I am on line 60.
74?
What?
60?
Yeah, why do we need any consults? Why do we need any consults, temporaries, or contract labor?
Okay, like I told you before, Alan, you had to talk that with Danielle. He does hire some consultants sometimes to do the fund drives.
So there was Barry, you have 2,200 for the month of October. Your budget was $3,000 for the year. So you're basically over budget the first month or the second month. You're over what your budget was. I'm just saying.
Well, the question is that something we can do without altogether? Do we have to have anything for it?
It's not our choice, Alan. It's not our choice. We can't do anything about it.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
I'm sorry. What do you have to have it for?
We have to have
Danielle's decision.
The consultant to run the fund drives. When the fund drives are on, we do hire Mr. Bates to do the fund drives. And then after the fund drive is over with, we don't pay him anymore.
Now, what's he doing during the fund drive?
I told you he's doing on here, hosting, and producing.
Yeah, gotta have that. Well, how much a month on the average?
I mean, it's about.
Well, it's about $2,200.
It's about $1,500 a month. That's what it amounts to.
$1,500 average.
That's $3,000 a year. $30,000 a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We aren't going to come out with a profit if we're going to spend that big.
Right.
But you have to understand that he's not making money in between fund drives. So you know what? The number probably would be close to about like $800 a month, probably. That's probably the true figure, because there are months that we're not in fund drive. He's not getting paid. He's not doing any work for us.
Well, let's do some arithmetic right now today. Let's add up what we're paying him so far.
800 times 12, that would be...
Divided by the number of months and calculate that number right now.
$9,600.
Well, that'd be about $9,600 a year.
Yeah, exactly. That's more in line, Alan, I think.
That's still an awful lot of money if we're going to try to run a profit.
Well, you know, it's very difficult to run a profit during these times. I mean, because of the world pandemic. It's very difficult.
Oh, please. This is unbelievable.
Okay, moving on. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, we have a loan we have to pay. We have to.
Yeah, I understand that, but you can't ignore reality, man.
Yeah,
the reality
right.
is the loan trumps every other reality.
that loan is not going to get paid by any cuts that we can have. That, you know, we can't even pay our bills. So that's our goal at this point.
But, Kim, we at least have to make an effort. It's, I think it's a fiduciary duty of the,
yeah,
of the finance
whatever,
committee to make
whatever.
An attempt. To make an attempt. So don't be pessimistic on it. We're trying to reduce the cost so that we have a chance to pay the loan. The loan will kill us if we don't get it done. So
well,
if we have to have crappier people talking on the radio, if the hosts require that Mr. Bates come in and do their talking for them, then we have a problem. Maybe we need to train those hosts. I believe that Paulina probably trains the Spanish hosts and stuff, and I'm done here. I'd be interested to hear what Paulina's take on that is.
Go ahead, Paulina.
Ms. Day.
I don't train anybody.
Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Let me go after whoever's there.
Sorry, Dave.
But doesn't
I'm sorry.
Somebody?
Go ahead,
doesn't
Dave.
Somebody?
Yes, I just wanted to point out that we had Tony Bates getting 1099 income to the tune of $2,200 at the end of last year, way before COVID-19. And so we haven't used Tony Bates or other consultants for fund drive fundraising in the past. And we are in a dire situation where we need to cut expenses. We've told this general manager over and over and over to completely cut the cost of consultants. And do we not have...
I'm sorry. Completely cut the cost of what?
The consultants. He's being paid as a consultant.
Oh, yeah.
That's
okay.
So do we not have... Do we not have a program director on the payroll that could be doing fundraising during the Tom Hartman Hour and these other things instead of
yes.
Tony Bates? Do we
right.
not have a general manager? Do we not have Maggie LaPique, the music director, on the payroll that could be used to, on these pitches? We cannot afford to pay these consultants. It's nothing personal. It doesn't matter if we like Tony or don't like Tony. We don't have the money. And so we can't just say, oh, well, that's just too bad. It's 1099. We need him on the air to raise money. That's clearly not true. And we have told this general manager over and over and over again to cut the consultants, and he refuses to do it. And that really is where we're at. Thank you. That's all I have.
Bella, to the
I'm glad to hear it. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, Bella.
I agree with Dave.
Yes. I wanted to address something that addressed Michael.
Paulina was next. I'm sorry. Paulina, go ahead.
Oh, then I'll go after Paulina. I appreciate that. So just to clear the air, I don't train anybody. I am actually being trained by everybody. I'm one of the probably more junior members of our teams. So that would be very incorrect to say that I'm giving people directions as to how to produce their shows. But on the other hand, I absolutely agree with the previous comment that we should be using the talent that we have on the payroll that are getting paid for it instead of getting 10, you know, contractors to do our fund drives. I don't think that merit is given the situation. So absolutely 100%. Thank you for bringing it up. And I believe the problem here is maybe it should be something that we as the local board should take up as a motion to the national board to make sure that the national board is clear on that. Because I think that the hiring freeze that the national board implemented did not include necessarily or wasn't clear enough about these kind of situations, you know, 1099s, contractors, etc. We need to be really clear about that, that perhaps every single 1099 should go through the national board, such as, for instance, when when National did a fund drive, they had to go through the national board to actually approve the contractors that had to be hired to do that, because obviously National doesn't have a station, so it doesn't have any paid programmers. So they had to do that now to be open about this. I was part of that, you know, I participated in that, but it had to be approved by the national board. And I think all expenses like that should be approved by the national board. They should not be hidden. They should not be Moreover, most importantly, what stations shouldn't be doing, KPFK or any other, is laying off regular employees and then relegating their duties to contractors. That is union busting. That's just not good for labor relations. Thank you.
Bella, to the staff.
I agree.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. I agree with you, Pauline, absolutely. But we have been at this for a very long time, and all of this is, there's no sunshine from KPFK. And the freeze, the hiring freeze, applies across the board. It's not whether this person is a 1099 or a W-2. It does not matter. Hiring freeze means hiring freeze. I wanted to go back to accrual. The audits are always held up because people don't know how to formulate and document accruals. And I wanted to clear up what Michael was given wrong information by Barry a little while ago. Accruals are never made in a P&L. P&L cannot have accruals. P&Ls are actuals. So whatever was paid on that month, that's what the actual is. Accruals are made on the balance sheet. And accrual means that if you do not pay, but you incurred, you have to show it on the balance sheet. We never see
that's
a balance.
That's not right.
So we do not know. Excuse me.
That's not right.
No, you're confusing budget and P&L, okay? So accruals
on
are
the
made.
On the P&L, you can't accrue expenses on a P&L, Bella. I don't know where you get your information from.
No. That is wrong. The accruals are made on the balance sheet. I don't know what the heck you're doing. So anyway, we never see a balance sheet which shows us what the accounts payable is, what is at the bank, and what the accrual is for the month that we have incurred but have not paid. Also, if we made an advance payment, let's say we made an advance payment for insurance, we have to pay the whole year or 6 months or quarter. That gets accrued. That gets accrued on the balance sheet as well. So expenses.
That's called a prepaid expense, Bella. That's what that's called.
That's a prepayment. And that is an accrual as well. It's under a prepayment account. Correct. So accruals are made on the balance sheet. Let's make that straight. Thank you.
Kim, just a quick point of personal privilege from Paulina.
Go ahead.
I'm going to leave in 1 minute because I have a class to teach at 4:30.
Okay. Any other comments you'd like to make?
Myself, not at this time. There's a lot on our plate. And, I'm just hoping that Barry would be in touch with Anita Sims as to all the information that she needs Barry hopefully can be in conversation with the other stations so that the way that we're putting things on the books, such as like our website income, KPFA and KPFK, seem to have this website income category that probably is part of it is listener support. Part of it may not be if it's just their buying. I mean, we don't know. So all of that needs to be straightened out as soon as possible so that we can compare apples to apples, such as was the pretty much the consensus on the National Finance Committee meeting last night that we delved into that in detail. So Barry expect contacts from National, from Anita and Tamara and others, from our National Finance Committee chair. Hopefully you'll be open to working with them. And if Aniel needs to be brought into this, even better. Thank you. And that's it.
All right, moving on. Let's go down to programming expenses. Under news services, /stringers.
What line item are you on?
78.
Audit fees?
Line 78 on the P&L?
On the P&L? Okay.
The programming expenses?
That lists $650 for October. Fred here.
Yeah, I thought you said you were going to cut the news services, Barry. It's in your budget that it'll be zero. So.
Well, we tried to, but apparently we're under contract, so we can't just arbitrarily cut the contract in mid-season. So I think Aniel is talking about negotiating with them. So we still have to make the payment, unfortunately.
You know for how long? Well, forever.
I don't know. I don't know who the duration is.
All right. So this $5,000 on line 90, direct mail printing for $5,000, what's that?
Direct mail printing? Oh, okay. That's, you know, we had that mail-in campaign with Allegiant. So that's what that expense is for. We have another mail campaign going out next week, so we had to pay that.
I'm confused.
Bella to the stack.
I'm confused, Barry. So $5,000 in October was for one mailing, and now you're doing another mailing, and Allegiant charges $5,000 for a mailing?
That's correct.
How many mailings a year do you do?
Well, we in the past, like in 2019, we had no mailing. So Aniel wanted to try to readdress this to try to bring in more additional money. So he thought that the mail campaign might bring in more money. So that's why he did it. He did one in, I think, in August and then one at the end of the year.
Has so this October charge was for the August mailing?
I don't know. I know it's $5,000 we paid Allegiance in October for. I don't know if that covered both mailings, or I know it was $5,000.
And do you have any way of tracking how much came in?
No, I don't.
Of course not.
Terry is supposed to be getting information from Allegiance so we can track the amount of money that does come in through the mail campaign, yes. And I think we do have a way of tracking that.
Okay.
What line and column is this? I don't see that number we're talking about. I'm looking at line 90.
91.
91.
90.
90.
Okay. I'm looking at that. That's what I was looking
91.
At. What column?
T.
T. Okay. Scale. Okay.
Question.
That
$5,000 in October is for direct mail printing, but there's nothing showing for postage. Does the $5,000 cover printing and postage, or are they separate?
They're separate.
So there's another how much for postage?
I don't know how much it was for postage, but I know that in order to handle all those letters, they charge $5,000 for that mail order campaign.
Bella to the stack.
Well, maybe the $5,000 includes postage.
Yeah, I think it does. On second thought, yeah, you're right, Alan. It does include postage. Yeah, you're right. So that number seems
thank you.
On the bottom.
Okay. Thank you. So, as I recall, just a pygmy bows machine, every time it needs to be replenished, it was $10,000, $5,000 to $10,000 to get replenished. And that used to get done at least twice, three times a year back then.
It's not that much. It's not that much.
Well, it's not.
In order to replenish it, it's about $2,800 to replenish it every other month.
But I'm speaking of just twice a year. It used to be twice a year, so that was $5,000, sometimes $10,000.
Okay, yeah, you're doing it on a twice a year.
Depending on the volume. Okay, let me finish. So what I'm trying to head here is that I want to know. I know that the general manager works very closely with a very exclusive special donor circle. Is that the dedicated donor circle mailer and not to the rest of the Signal area membership? And I know you can, I think you can answer that.
I don't believe that includes the donor Signal for that mailer.
What do you mean it does not? What do you mean it does not?
I think he was going to target the people who are in that we lost in membership that had not been making contributions in the past.
You mean expirations? Expirations?
Correct, yeah. That expired their membership, yeah.
Okay, so not the special donor circle.
Correct.
Okay, so in other words, we are really doing a niche mailers, but we are not doing a full blown out mailer campaign to reach the Signal area membership. And this is what keeps hampering us because we have been losing so much membership, you see. And that's what I'm trying to get at. And that's the reason for my question. So you see the dilemma there. Either he does it for a special circle of people or he does it for another special circle, but never does he do a widespread mailer concerted to outreach to the Signal area. And
okay,
that's
Bella, this would best be taken up with the general manager. Can we move on?
Well, how many of these issues should we be taking up with the general manager? Where is he, Tim? Do you have him in your pocket? Is he in your pocket?
We're blowing smoke here because there are no answers. Can we move on, please? Can we move
on,
please?
But I need to bring up the questions. I need to bring up questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Just like you do.
Okay, line 95. Line 95, development expenses, $4,250. What's that for, Barry?
Development expenses?
Pardon me?
You're talking about development expenses.
That's what it says on line 95.
Okay, I don't know what it is at the top of my head. Let me, I got to think about development expenses. Development expenses. So what account number is that?
It's on your P&L.
We
know,
don't
so
get
the,
it.
That's, so that's
2, 6, 7, 10.
Did I, Fred? So did Fred make a comment?
So some of that, some of those development expenses is the direct mail postage. Some of that's in there. 6772.
Did Fred make
and
a comment?
And then you have, the credit card charging fee that come through on the bank statement. That's what those development expenses are.
Could Fred
this
make a comment?
No, go ahead, Fred. Yes, go ahead, Fred.
Maybe the reason Kim asked about this line item is because the previous 2 years have zero charges on this item, and in October it's got this almost this $4,289 charge for development expenses.
For some development expenses, you have credit card fees, and you also have direct mail postage.
They're line items for each of those. There is a line item for credit card fees. There's a line item, several line items for postage.
And I'm trying to tell you what it is. And then also the direct mail expense and printing, that is the check stock that we order in order to do the checks. We have to order checks.
This makes no sense, but I'll deal with it later. Okay, moving on. It looks like we're definitely not paying our premiums, and we're not paying PRA for their premiums either. I have nothing else to say except for the idea that after the big October fund drive month, we netted at the end of the month $66,000, which clearly did not get us through November until the next fund drive. And also, I did manage to look up a little while ago, there were 29 days. That fund drive ran 29 days.
Okay, so it didn't go 31, though.
I didn't say it went 31. I said it went 30, but I was mistaken. It was 29 days, Barry.
About 2,000 a day.
Excuse me?
About 2,000 a day. You said about $60,000 in 30 days is about 2,000 a day.
What? I'm not sure what that relates to. Anyway, so these premiums are obviously not on the accounts payable or the PRA premiums, because I know they've been on air a lot. So, and we obviously don't have the telemarketing expense put in here yet for the phone service, and that's going to be a big chunk of change. Now, what was the fund drive expense on line 100 for $309?
Fund drive expense, that was the telemarketing for, we still had to pay, what's it called, Telerep, $308. That was the balance that we owed them.
Why Telerep. Is it on fund drive line instead? Oh, I see. Okay.
Telemarketing expense right there.
Well, the year before, it was on the line above. They're all on 99.
Well, you wanted to change it, remember?
No, I didn't want to change it.
Yeah, you did. You wanted to put the the telerep and the better answer under 6721, which is telemarketing.
No, I wanted it out of the phone bill up under administration.
That's correct, and that's why it's down there now.
But it should go where it was going last year, in telemarketing on 999. This is just common sense, Barry. They're both called, one is called telemarketing, one is called fund drive / telemarketing expense. So I would have chosen the telemarketing line item where they all went last year so we could compare apples to apples. That's what I would have done. That's why I'm asking. Okay,
that number, the telemarketing goes to 6721, which is called telemarketing. All the telerep and the better answer goes into 6721, which is described as telemarketing, okay?
Okay, but that's not where you put it for the last 2 years. Just look at the P&L yourself, Barry, please. Just look
I can't
at line...
change the last 2 years. I can only change going forward, okay?
If you want to make changes, there are plenty of other changes to make. That's not one of them. You were misconstruing something that I did not say.
You did
the
say.
The only thing I suggested
the telerep was put in the phone bill. The telerep was being put in the phone bills, and you wanted to put in the telemarketing, so that's what I did. Okay?
No, Barry, that's not okay.
You make a big deal out of nothing.
Well, okay. I'll deal with it elsewhere. Okay, I'm done. Anybody else have anything? Okay, so we're done with this. It's really a very dire situation, people. And I don't know what's going to happen. But there's nothing that's optimistic about it.
Can I ask a question, Kim? This is Lawrence. Let me know what public comments are available.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for their very hard work and their diligence in regards to the accountability part of our governance structure. I send an email in regards to a continuation of some information that was missing from my director's inspection. And there were some people, I did not have John Wenger's email, I don't have Brother David's email, and I don't have some other people's email that I heard in this meeting. So I'm hoping that that could be sent, and I'm hoping if I could ask Barry, if we received it, if we received that request, I also send it to Aniel.
No, I didn't.
And then I have one more thing to say.
I didn't receive an email from you. I received an email from Lawrence Reyes. That's who I received the email.
Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
That's me, Lawrence Reyes.
Okay, so I gave you all the information regarding the director's inspection.
Okay, there's some information that we did not get, and it's highlighted in red in the additional request that I sent to you and the committee. So I also I sent it to Aniel as well. And there's some additional information that I'm requesting for the Finance Committee and for myself. This way they could be edifying to regards to a lot of the financial questions that are being asked right now. So if you could take a look at that. You don't have to answer that now. Barry, please, hold on. You don't have to answer that right now. You could get back to me. But I just want to let the Finance Committee know that. And I, too, am very concerned about the increase in payroll disbursements because as far as I remember, there's a mandated 30% cut that's required, and to be paying additional payments in payroll concerns me, and not utilizing, as Brother David said, not utilizing the current consultants that we have on the payroll and having an additional 1099 or an additional consultant that's not, I don't know if they're contracted or not. I don't know what kind of tax status that they have. That concerns me as well. I just want to let you know that I will try to check in more to these finance committees because I'm not just a director for KPFK. I'm concerned about the whole network because we are in not good shape.
Can I respond to your concerns? One of the things we learned today is that the severance payments were folded into the salary numbers that we're seeing on the P&L.
Okay.
So the part of the reason that the salary
2% increase.
That's
on the payroll disbursement.
Well, I'm saying is we don't know because it's not broken out, but that the severance payments were included in the included as part of salary. So we don't know what, you know.
Well, that's fine. I'm talking about the independent contractor that's being hired in lieu of already having contracted consultants.
Well, I'm, and I believe Kim and everybody else are concerned about that because we're in a financial crisis and that's something that should normally be cut back on and when you're in this type of a financial situation.
Bella to the staff,
okay.
Please.
No,
thank you for
the
time, Kim, and committee.
Lawrence, stop, Bella, stop. You do not have the floor. Thank you for coming on, Lawrence.
I am asking Lawrence not to leave.
Bella,
can you stay on?
Bella.
I can stay on for another 15 minutes, and I have to go. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying thank you. If you send me an email, I haven't seen it. I will check after the meeting. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. This is just a simple operating question. For Barry, when you talk about the amount of money that's spent on, quote, development, unquote, you get some kind of an invoice to pay somebody some money, correct? Before you cut a check. Are you there, Barry?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
You get when you cut the checks for the item that's listed as development. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so you make the check out to somebody, so you would know who it is you made the check out to, And what motivates you to make that check? Do you get an invoice, an email? What do you get that tells you how much to make the check out and who to?
I get an invoice.
And this is
the invoice.
You get an invoice. Right.
That's correct.
So who sends you the invoice? How do you know that the invoice is legitimate KPFK expense?
Well, the invoices come to me via my email. Sometimes they come from Annielle. Annielle will send me the invoice. So that's how I get it.
Okay, so these invoices for development, are they coming from Terry Guy or from Annielle?
Sometimes they come from Terry, yes. Mm-hmm. They put them in my box.
Are you accumulating these, you know, saving them somewhere, the images, the emails?
I'm not saving them. They're on my email. They're in my email folder.
Okay, so the authorization to make that payment is an email received from somebody like either Annielle or I guess Terry Guy or possibly Maggie LaPeak or somebody else, right?
Correct. That's correct.
If you have a question about an invoice that somebody's requesting that you pay, who do you get it authorized by?
Well, it's being authorized by Terry Guy and Annielle Field.
Sorry, who is the third person?
Terry Guy and Annielle Field. And then sometimes Maggie LaPeak, too, because sometimes she buys books for the fund drive and she wants to be reimbursed for the fund drive.
Okay, but all payments for premiums and development comes from either Terry Guy or Annielle.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Or Maggie.
So they're managing it. All right, so as far as you know, they're the management on how funds are expended, not you. You don't have any say. You follow what instructions you get.
Well,
I
do recommend what we should pay as far as what's pending. You know, we have a lot of things that are pending, so once we get enough money in our bank account, you know, I'll make a recommendation that we should pay our health benefits, you know, or something like that, or we should pay our property taxes. Like this
must
be a property
tax. That's not the question.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you, Bella.
Bella, you don't have the floor.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. So you may make recommendations about how to juggle the accounts payable so that
correct.
The least damage.
Right. Exactly.
But you're not evaluating. You're not making any evaluation about the whether or not it's a good purchase or worthwhile or valid. So if Annielle sent you an email to pay for a car rental, you just pay it.
No, I wouldn't just pay it. I would question it. All the invoices that come through me, I do question it. Like I'll question it and I'll say, well, what is this for? You know, I do question invoices that I'm not familiar
okay,
with
so,
or something that's not that I don't agree with or something.
Okay, so normally the emails, okay, so you'll ask them verbally and you're not in an email.
Right.
You don't have any documentation about that conversation. But my question is, normally if he sends you an email and he says, pay for this car rental, he doesn't indicate on that email for what purpose or department or function the payment that you made. So
there is a description.
If he says,
they have a description on the invoice. Like if he stays at a hotel on a business trip, then it's just going to be hotel expense, you know, that kind of thing. But we're not doing that at all. We haven't done that in a year now. There's no travel involved at all. So, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. All right, that's why I just wanted to know how the documentation is. So the documentation at this point in time is aggregated in your email account.
Correct.
You're the gateway for all of the purchase requests.
That's correct. Either that or through regular mail. Invoices come through regular mail too.
Snail mail from who? From vendors?
Uh-huh, exactly. Like, for example, the city of Los Angeles for our electric bill and our sewer, electrical and sewer. So that comes through the regular mail.
Okay, so one follow-up question. Do you Xerox them and keep them electronic or digital, or is it just paper?
They get copied. all the invoices get copied and they're filed in the file for the accounts payable.
That's fine, but do you make an electronic image?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all. I just wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Bella to the stack, please.
Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Lawrence, you're still there? Lawrence?
Bella, I'm still here. I got another
Good.
5 minutes.
Good. Lawrence, one of the areas that you need to add to the list of requests was brought up earlier, and probably you did not understand, is that the severance payments that are being made, that have been made, are showing up. They're being compiled with a salary amount. We need a breakdown, a separate breakdown, so we know what that severance amount is. Because now we cannot gauge whether or not that increase in salaries is in fact from the severance. We have no clue. So we need to get that breakdown right now of the severance payments that have been made. Also, Barry told us today that as of this moment, there has been no hours cut from anyone. The other thing is that we now know that three people have been laid off, and that's all. We don't know who they are. So all of this needs to be investigated, because none of this is not compliance with what is being demanded. Thank you.
So if you send me a request to your
Let
chair
me do that
and
right
if
now.
It's the committee,
Let me do that right now.
If it's the committee's will, I will definitely add that as an addition to the director's request that
I
just sent.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, I just sent you the list of everybody on the finance committee.
I did, and I'll be sending the email with those additional people.
So, did you get my email? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Can we move on, please? The next on the agenda is review Allegiance fund drive data. Does anybody have comments on that? I mean, you all have the links to check daily. I mean, all I can say is it's like, what did I say? It was 11,000 a day. This is miserable. And clearly the fund drive chart is not going to work. It's bad. does anybody have any comments? And it's just the same old thing, you know, same old repeats of certain programs that have been played to death. Anyways, any other comments, or we can move on?
I'm going to look for that email right now, Kim. What's it called? Fund Drive links from you?
No, I don't know. I'll send it to you again. I don't
That'd
remember
be
when
okay, that's all I, need.
I first sent it out, but Does everybody have it or not?
Who's requesting this? Is that John Wanger?
Yeah.
It is John, yeah.
Okay.
One of the basic problems here is that I get emails occasionally from Barry, but sometimes from Fred and sometimes from Kim and sometimes from other people. And so, so Fund Drive links, I should be able to type that in and search my Gmail, and, it's not coming up. So I searched for Kim Kaufman, and now I've got to try
John,
to figure out what you called it. So fun.
John, Fred here. Those links
yeah.
were sent out in an email from Aniel. I'll forward you that email.
I just did it, Fred. I sent it to everybody in case they didn't see it the first time. Okay, moving on. So next we have Alan Beeks, budget suggestion presentation that Bella put on the agenda. Are you up for it, Alan?
We have had some discussion of the budget, and I think that we've accomplished all we're going to accomplish this afternoon. We've got some suggestions for how to improve it. Thank you.
Okay. So next on the agenda is the Cal Matters matter that Bella wanted on the agenda.
Yes. So if I can address that, thank you, Kim. It is very interesting because I think there's a pattern, a theme here. And I have been harping on this for quite a while. And now I think it's coming to a head where the station actually is fundraising capacity from the website to direct mailing, et cetera. It seems to be being sourced out. And this CalMatter.org website, when I went to research them, it's a news outlet. Now, how can this news outlet, and I read a kind of snippets of some of their news, they proclaim to be nonpartisan. And so I'm very worried about this, that we are directing, the general manager is redirecting people's fundraising arm to a third party. And when Beth Van Gutten responded to this, he said, no, that was a typo. How can this be a typo? This is a concerted effort campaign. And I'm sure, again, to a very specific circle of people, membership or not, we don't know who they are, but those figures are being reflected in our P&L. And we have no backup. We cannot justify the numbers, and yet PayPal is being, people that are going to PayPal are being directed to deal with this outside outfit that we should not be dealing with. Also then, that brings me back to the other side of the equation, that for a very long time, some on-air hosts have been given, which should have come from Jonathan Alexander, because he's the IT guru at KPFK, with the blessing of the general manager. They have been given special server, KPFK server emails, and while they're on their programs, they redirect the listeners to make donations to either the website or their email addresses, which then may get associated with other portals. And we have lost control of our revenue, and we are not getting the proper accounting of our revenue. So we should be very alarmed. So we should be very alarmed and concerned over this strategy that the general manager has been using. This is not the first time. And I have sent this group and the LSB different emails about similar situation. Thank you.
Bella, do you have documentation that these emails are being switched to programmers?
Oh, I have sent Beth Van Gutten several emails regarding people that have the special emails. They're on-air hosts, and they direct the listeners to support them via their personal contacts. And because they have a KPFK server email, they can associate that with any portal that they so wish. And it's tied into their Facebook, it's tied into their grandma's website, you know? So we have been losing steadily control of our income stream.
Does anybody understand this or want to speak to this?
Yeah, this is Grace. I'd like to speak to it.
Okay. Go ahead.
If programmers, I don't know the exact details of what's happening with this, but if a programmer on on KPFK or any Pacifica station promotes their own personal website, and that website has a button on it that asks people to donate, that may be a way of siphoning off funds that using their airtime on KPFK to enrich themselves personally. This is a question. I don't know what arrangements we have with volunteer programmers, but of course, if somebody's a paid programmer at KPFK, their work, their programs are work product. Unless there's some contractual arrangement that they've entered into with KPFK that gives them ownership of the material that they broadcast, any proceeds from the any donations because of those programs should inure to KPFK, not to the programmer personally. So this is several programmers do promote their own personal websites. You'll hear, like, you know, if you want to hear more, go to the archive, blah, 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 and you can hear more of the show or other shows. So programmers have their own personal archives. And this could be a way that funding is diverted from KPFK to others.
But Grace, you know this has been going on for years. I mean, this isn't a new issue. This has been going on for years.
It's been going on for years. Doesn't mean that it's right or proper or...
No, but yeah. It's a little, you know, I mean, so what do you want to do about it?
Change it.
Well, I suggested that it be added as an item in the employee handbook, which it is. Before, there was no such policy I knew of or that others knew of, and it does exist. It is mentioned in the employee handbook, so there is something there that would but you know, governance can only suggest right policy. The implementation of policy has to be done by management. It's not up to governance to manage the station.
Well, yeah, but if you know that a policy is being broken, then you should bring it to the attention of someone. I mean, that's the way it works.
Well, you just stated that you knew it was going on for years. Have you brought it to the attention of management?
No, I didn't know there was a policy about it.
Okay.
Come on.
Send everybody on this call the citation from the employee handbook, okay?
Thank you.
You can look it over, maybe put it on the agenda for the next finance committee meeting.
I suggest that we take this up at the LSB as well, in that we write up a motion and submit it to the PNB for the governance committee.
Well, I have to see the handbook first to see what the deal is.
Yeah.
Anything else?
This is very serious, actually.
All right. Well, anything else?
We have been losing many funds over the years.
Yeah.
This is why we are where we are.
It's been going on for a lot of years. So anybody else have anything? All right. Well, can I get a motion to adjourn?
Yes, motion to adjourn. And
all
our
right,
next
well,
meeting is on the 13th, right?
Well,
January?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Good night.